don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Where is Santa? And is he?
Hey!
Tell me why is it always this way?
Hey!
Where is Rudolph? Where is Bits and Baby? Merry Christmas, merry, merry, merry Christmas. All the children are tucked in their beds. Sugar berries dancing in their heads. Snowball pouting, it's so exciting, baby.
Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-proof show that strictly talks hockey. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, whatever you got, give us a call. 204-269-8636. That is 204-269-UMFM.
Yeah, if you want to learn how we do broadcasting around here, we got three of, I'm going to say, the best in the business in terms of getting stuff going. Before we get going, though, I'm just going to ask you, Beans.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure people are curious. How was the Domino's last week?
It was fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
As you tracked it all the way to your house?
Yeah, ordered it as I was doing the show. Watched, I think his name was Paul.
Paul?
As he made it on the app there.
Yeah.
Got there, and it was ready for me.
Right on.
All perfect.
It was solid, though? You had a good pizza solid. Dinner?
Made my own pizza.
Well, I know you got to go. We're not going to keep it too long as we fade out the murder birds here. Merry Christmas. Don't want to fight tonight. Which is kind of funny, considering that we generally talk about hockey fights whenever.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Let's get out of here. Let's get going, because I know you got an appointment to get to, so we won't keep you too long. I do want to say, Beans, Merry Christmas,
Merry
Happy
Christmas,
New Year.
Yes.
Well, not Happy New Year. I'll see you next week, probably.
Yeah, we will see you next
week. But Merry Christmas to you and yours, and all the best over the next few days. And
for
hopefully,
sure.
You know, Santa's good to the kids and to you and to Ashley.
He's always good to the kids.
Awesome. That's exactly what I hear. So.
That's the problem. So.
All right. Well, let's get out of here. Let's get going.
All right.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Take it easy, Beans.
Guys, have fun.
Bringing in now. I'm going to bring them all on if I can figure out which mics everybody's on and what they're doing. He's on five, on the three.
Everyone but four, it looks like.
All right. I think we're good. That voice you heard, that mysterious voice you heard, was one of our guests tonight. I want to bring in Neil. Neil, you're a veteran to this booth here.
God bless you, MFM. I love this place. I love you. I'm glad you had us on.
Again, we have talked about doing a show like this for a while. End of the table, the gentleman at the end, I'm going to bring him on. He's also a veteran of this booth, having done... You're not doing a show now, are you, Mike? But we did one last year with Stelzi, right?
I did one last year. This is the first year I haven't had one.
Oh, okay, there you go.
So it's
been a while.
A pleasure to be back here in the studio, and
always
a pleasure to talk to you, Teebs. Thanks so very much for having me and everyone else in here.
Don't worry, not a problem. And we'll bring the man in who legitimately keeps us busy all year long with all of his various fingers in various cookie jars. The man who legitimately is the brains behind the entire scheme that we put together every week on the radio and on Canada West TV, Mr. John Gowdis. John, how are
you? I'm good. You give me far too much credit. But,
I don't know about that.
It's always good to be back on the radio in some capacity.
Good. We're happy to have you. A lot of people don't know this, but you three technically are the three that keeps Bison Sports social media and or YouTube channel and or everything else going in terms of articles that are written and broadcasts that are put up on Canada West TV. Without you guys, we would not have that stuff, I would assume. So let's be honest. You guys must have pretty busy weeks when it comes to the work that you guys are putting in to get these broadcasts done. Is that correct?
I think that's pretty fair. I think we have, you know, we talk about it that we have 15 teams here, so we try to spread the love as much as we can. So that involves a lot of work, and we're in a good situation, I think, with the U of M. We have a team of three of us that are, you know, dedicated to it. We have our hands in the cookie jars, as you say. We're at the games. We love our teams, and that gives us a huge leg up with, you know, having three people dedicated to this is something not a lot of schools have. And it really gives us an opportunity to do a lot of good things.
So, I mean, John, you handle most of the social media stuff when you're available to do that. How crazy is it for you to sort of manage across the spectrum of social media that you have your I guess, passwords for?
I don't find it that crazy. Some people see my TweetDeck homepage and get a little anxious, and sometimes it gives me anxiety. But I enjoy the thrill of it. I started this season doing team accounts for all of our team Twitters as well,
yeah,
for in-game tweets, which is a challenge, but I love it. I love doing the game night stuff. I recede to my office to just do the social media and do highlights and do all that kind of good stuff, which, you know, that's what I love to do. So
no, I mean, you do it well. Take nothing away from that. We'll move down to the table again to Mike. Mike, you are fairly common visitor in the press box with us in terms of what's going on. You do the write-ups for Bison Women's Hockey, which are always excellent in terms of their write-up. But a lot of people may not know this. You're the host, usually, of most of the social media, the YouTube stuff. But you're also the in-game host for most of Bison football this year. Talk a little bit about your weeks that went into getting everything ready.
Sure. So it really depends. In terms of, like, the game day writing, whatever team is at home, I'll be, you know, like, it can vary. This year I've been on the women's hockey beat, so it's been a pleasure to be involved with most of the games that have happened in terms of the Phlegm, and obviously being able to share the press box with you when you're up there between breaks and all of that. It's been awesome. And then, yeah, depending on the week, I'll be at basketball or volleyball, whoever's at home, basing it that way. This is my second year hosting Bison football in-game, and it's so much fun. It's just being able to just get the crowd engaged with what's going on. I mean, that's my most important role when I'm out there on the field, is making sure that the fans are having fun and really just interacting with what's going on. And so in terms of what I do, in the background of hosting, so a script will be sent to me by Laura Halash, who's the sort of the events person right now.
Okay.
And so I'll get my script, and I don't tend to follow it. I tend to just jot. Well, she won't technically write out a whole script. I'll just ask her, give me notes, right? Just give me
for sure.
Just sort of highlights to talk about, and I'll just I like to go off the cuff. I find it more natural when you're able to sort of just have your own sort of personality when you're doing things like this, especially hosting. If I'm trying to remember, like, what I wrote down, I have some problems sometimes with, I'm like, oh, I forgot to say this.
Right.
And then all of a sudden my mind is going crazy and I, you know, I lose focus. So, you know, when I'm able to just sort of go off the cuff, I find that it works out a lot better. And that involves pregame, just sort of telling people what's going on. In-game, in terms of we have our quarter breaks, so we'll do the fun games with different people when they'll come out. And you know, we have our Smitty's Wing Toss and our Coke Relay,
right,
which are a lot of fun, different and new this year, thanks to Lisa Tinley, obviously, for in the marketing department for getting sort of those things going as well. And then I'll also do, the halftime, my personal favorite part of the game day experience, just the old Dutch crunchers and having those the young studs out
there.
The next generation of talent just out there at halftime. So, that's what goes into sort of an in-game hosting day. And then the rest of my time is spent writing either Fridays, myself and Neil, who we'll get to, obviously, but he does the video work for our Bison TV, which happens once a week, and that's all kinds of fun, just being able to have an intimate time. And what I do with the Bison's TV is I'll interview an athlete before for a digital piece, and then we'll just continue that conversation when we do Bison's TV, so that the questions are fresh in the athlete's head, and then they don't have to rethink that 10-15 times over, and they're comfortable in that zone. And that's one of the other jobs that I have, is making sure the athletes are comfortable with me, you know?
Sure,
and I feel like that's partially been established because I've known a lot of these athletes for 6 years, going back to my time as a student here, so it helps. Yeah. You're not starting from scratch with that kind of stuff, but it certainly helps because you just get, you know, you get the best out of an athlete when they're comfortable with you, and so relationship building is a key part of what happens too as well.
If you recognize the voice, obviously Mike was most recently featured in our best of, I guess, for you guys, best of 2018, with the first half highlights. So if you're looking for that, it's on social media. We'll give a link out a little bit later for that if you want to see some of the best highlights of Bison sports. But Mike, you are always welcome in that press box because we love having you up there. You usually dig through something and find some sort of good stat for us to talk about, so we love that part of it for sure.
And a shout out to you too, Teebs, because I mean I listen to the broadcasts when I watch games, because I feel like it just gives the reader an opportunity, if they missed the webcast,
sure,
to really be keyed in on some of the sort of the storylines going in. I'll give an example. example, I thought that a tremendous stat that you brought out, because you're just good with this stuff, is how many, like, that Saskatchewan hadn't given up a road power play goal
right.
all season. I was like, that's an unbelievably cool stat that I'm going to put in, because we scored in the game that you had talked
yeah.
about that.
Yeah.
So, like, if somebody is not able to catch the webcast, they wouldn't know that. They're not going to go probably, I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but they're probably not going to go through the bother of looking through those statistics to find that very unique stat.
Right.
So I feel the need to put that into the recap, because I think it's a critical part of the game story and just a valuable piece of information. So we pull off of each other a little bit too.
I do like that, yeah.
And I love listening to your guys and yeah, just being able to incorporate a little bit of that into the recap. And then also when I talk to Sean after the game or whatever coach it is, you know, being able to maybe have some of those tidbits and bring that to the table so that they're able to comment on it as well for the post-game summaries. So
yeah, I know if you're missing out on that, check out gobisons.ca. Mike's got some fantastic post-game results on there. Gotta say, it's a pleasure. Every time I get the email from on the Bison Sports mailing list, I'm always like, that's a solid article. Look at Mike. He's putting together himself a little essay here. I like it.
Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I guess it's, like I said, we appreciate it as well. Moving a little further down the table, let's talk to the guy who you hear every Wednesday from 6 to 6:30 right here on this very station doing a show called Game of Runs. Our friend and colleague, Neil Noonan. How are you, Neil?
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular belief, Mike actually practiced that entire spiel he just gave us.
What?
Before coming on. You know the off-the-cuff thing?
Lies.
Dude has been working on the Academy Awards speech for a while. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I'm just kidding. No,
he's good.
Mike's fantastic at what he does. I'm gonna piggyback off of what he just talked about, though. As far as building off of what you guys talk on the webcast and then building that to the story, that stuff gets me giddy. Because, like, the more Bison Sports can kind of give this cohesive kind of story, whether it's on the webcast, audio like we're doing right now, video, the game recap, social media, all that kind of stuff, the better story is told, right? And whether it's a stat like that, which is how excited you got out of that stat shows a lot about you as far as road penalty goals or whatever it was. But I love that stuff. And I think that's just kind of the beginning of where we're going with the webcast, too, is trying to build it into it's not just setting up the mics and setting up the camera and getting going kind of thing. It's doing what you've been doing for a while, Teebs. It's you're telling the story through the game and understanding the audience of you're talking to a lot of parents, you're talking to a lot of fans and stuff like that. But there's a story to be told, right? And having Mike do that kind of stuff and building off of what you're saying during the webcast, it's fantastic. It's awesome. Gets me really excited, that's for sure.
We have fun with it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I would, you know, love to be able to, you know, as many games as possible, 82 game season if it was possible, but we're limited by what we can do. But we love, again, we see stuff like that. When Mike, you know, gives us, when he's got a stat that we're reading in the thing, I'm like, I didn't even know that. I got to mention that this week or whatever. Like, that's the kind of stuff where I go, yeah, okay, this is working very well in terms of what we do. People may not know what you do, though. You are the webcast coordinator, which sounds like a very important title in terms of what goes on around here, because the webcast is a big part of that broadcast and certainly what goes on. What does your week involve, Neil?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'll probably preface this with saying that one of our biggest challenges is centering the score on the score bug on the screen. And with that being said, that we're in a great position if that's one of our biggest challenges.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
John has been a great help. I think we have phenomenal broadcast teams across our entire sports, including you guys. And then we got Jason, the guy on the men's broadcast, and then we got Adam, Amber, Court, and then obviously John and Siraj on basketball. We just have really, and not even mention the like bombing and the football guys, right?
Yeah.
Like, we just have really solid broadcast teams, which I think is so important. And I'm noticing more and more that these broadcast teams are kind of taking control of their own broadcasts, which is not necessarily taking away from my job, but it's making my job easier where I can think about extra things kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah.
If you guys can really handle the technical side of being at the broadcast or being at the webcast and I'm setting it all up, but you guys can take control and let it ride, then I could think about, oh, let's do some extra graphics this week kind of thing. If you guys want to talk about a certain player or a specific stat that Mike brought up or whatever it may be, right? And I think after these 3 months, the first half of the season kind of thing, going through the ebbs and flows of what a week looks like as far as preparing for the broadcast, seeing what Canada West comes up with as far as like leaderboards and stuff like that, and seeing where we can fit that in the webcast. I get really excited about the second half, and then in years in the future, if the opportunity presents itself, to see what else we can do as far as like whether it's I know you love doing the interviews with the players on the ice, which is fantastic.
That's fun,
we really want to bring that to the court sports as well, right? In a second camera in the Investors Group Athletic Center, right? So it's those kind of things that get me really excited. I think this first half of the season was fantastic to kind of really get a good understanding of the software we're using, making sure that the webcast is live, our audio and video is good. That's just the basic of it all, because we do have parents that are, they're all paying money. All of our webcasts are pay to view, right?
Yep.
So thinking about that, thinking about the product that you're putting out on online, I think is really important. And I feel comfortable thinking about the next step now, which is really exciting because I'm really confident with all of our broadcast crew. John has been super helpful as teaching me all the software, all the stuff behind the scenes kind of thing. And now it's just taking it to the next level because I've definitely seen other webcasts across Canada West, across U Sports, and there's some really great ones, and there's some ones that we can choose or we can pick different things from and
sure,
learn from and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, really excited about the second half, seeing what else we can add and going forward for sure.
It's funny you mentioned the graphics earlier in terms of, you know, some of the stuff you deal with, and you were super helpful in terms of getting us the rookie set up for this year when we were talking about some of the rookies that came in to join the Bisons. I don't know if you want to start that now, but next year looks like you're going to have about a dozen rookies to deal with. But but I'm just saying, if we do that again, we might do it over several weeks. So
it's just 10. We're 10 and counting.
I know, yeah. It's just ridiculous in terms of what's going on.
Yeah,
so
I got Sean on speed dial. He's going to let me know immediately.
Okay, that sounds good. That's all right then. Obviously, I mean, you were just talking about it, you know, taking steps forward, looking at other things. We've heard some feedback, obviously, last year with what went on at U Sports in terms of the Nationals and, you know, names that were pronounced wrong and stuff like that.
Sure.
Really looking at the next steps. We understand from our side, the broadcasting side, we got to get things right. We got to make sure that things are right. You guys have talked about doing maybe some new stuff next year, depending on what, you know, what money is available and what technology is available and so on. What is it in each of your minds? What is it the one thing that you want to bring in next year? What is the one advancement to the broadcast that you want to see? Anybody jump in.
We all got ideas.
Exactly. No, this is what I mean, though. This is the question.
I'm going to piggyback a little bit off of what Neil mentioned in terms of having like before games, at halftime interview, post-game interviews and all of that.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really awesome to have somebody whose designated job is to be in-game host of the webcast. So they do, like, I know, like, with teams, what you do, and you already do the pregame yourself and all that kind of stuff. But if we had our two people that are doing play-by-play and color, and then we had a third person on the floor who is doing, like, they have up-to-the-minute information because they're at the benches. If there's an injury that happens, they can be like, so-and-so has ice on their, you know, right quad and are is questionable to return, and then halftime interviews as well with both coaches or one coach, and post-game interviews as well. I think for every sport, that would be a really cool thing to do. And I think that that's something that we have the capability of doing, possibly just because, you know, with the added cameras, being able to maybe have like a courtside camera or whatever it is. I feel like that would just add to the experience because, I mean, shout out to John. I mean, all of the webcast color and play-by-play people we have for every sport, I stand by the fact that they're the best or tops in the conference. And that's, again, accolades to John for knowing who would be really good for those roles and really sort of honing out. And Neil also mentioned how, you pay for a broadcast, so you want to get the quality you expect when you're paying for it. And I feel like another dimension would be a host where you're really getting those coaches' opinions or those players' opinions at the right times and are really able to sort of have that full in-game experience is sort of what my vision would be personally.
So Mike wants a Sarah Orleski for everybody then.
Basically,
basically. Sarah was top of mind for me for sure.
There you go.
So we have the budget for Sarah.
can we lure her away from TSN, John? That's the big question.
I doubt it.
Okay. And, for John or Neil, what do you guys want to see in terms of advancements?
You know, there are two sides of it always for me. I think that technologically there are always ways you can improve, and there are so many schools, whether they're in Ontario or whether they're in Canada West, who up front pay a lot of money for equipment and then don't have the people to carry it out. I think we've kind of done the reverse, where we have great people in place and have less upfront money in our technology. So, you know, we've put an investment in the people, and I think building out, having that second camera, having an in-game host, they're just little tweaks. But I think maintaining continuity with the people we have on our broadcast, the big thing with hockey that we've done is we brought in UMFM this year, which is such a monumental shift in our broadcast. We don't have two teams up there anymore. It's actually a cost-saving mechanism for us.
Which is good. Yeah.
Which is great. And it's also created a much better broadcast, because I believe in having as many people who are U of M students or U of M-affiliated people, because you're here and you care about our teams, broadcasting our games. If they're outside of that, I want them to be people who are involved in the community in some way in their sport. And I think we've done a good job with that at all three of our sports that we broadcast for teams. And with football, I think we just have a super professional team who have, you know, TSN 1290 experience. So that goes without saying. So it is just building out technology-wise. And I think just having continuity, getting better every week, providing feedback, having them build off that is such a huge part of kind of building broadcasts over time. So that by the time we get to playoffs, when we have playoff teams, we have really solid broadcasts. We know that it's 70-30 from the road audience, so we want all our broadcasts to be educated on the road teams, who their really good players are. You guys already do that, obviously, with interviewing the opposing players, but we just want to create a really good broadcast for our away audience, because that helps the conference as a whole.
It's funny you mentioned that, because, I mean, we found out last year when Saskatchewan and Manitoba played in the Canada West Final there that, well, we crashed the server that we were connected to, and we had to basically go and upgrade in the, you know, on the fly sort of thing or whatever.
Huskies fans.
Totally Saskatchewan fans, yeah. And I totally appreciate it. And we even gave a shout-out to them that this was a huge, huge you know, moment for us, because we never thought we'd get to 200 listeners at any one point. And then we found out that we were at like 700, and we were like, okay, that's a little bit more than we expected. But I mean, again, that's where we go. We're super grateful that people are tuning and listening, and that we're super appreciative that people appreciate what we do. So I mean, for the amount of, you know, the amount of professional people you've put in place to help us, whether it be the coaches, the players, behind the staff behind the scenes who give us some of the information that we can relay to this, to the fans, we can't say thanks enough about that, John. So, yeah. I mean, that's huge for us.
Yeah, no, it's appreciated on your end, too. And I think we kind of know which games people are going to watch. That's why the pressure ratchets up for our four football games, because we know that a lot of people are watching four home football games. And then when we get to the playoffs, we want to have the best product possible. So we get the benefit of a whole season to build up to that. And I think we're, you know, we're halfway through and doing that right now.
Right on. Neil? Got anything you want to see? Any major changes you want to see for next year?
I think even going to the second half, I got to echo what both of these guys said. But I think going off of just continuing to build the story. Yeah. And I think not only do we have phenomenal staff in place, but being able to provide, I think even like building off of, like, say if Mike had a feature one week kind of thing.
True, yeah.
And it's about, I don't know, Tori Studler on the women's volleyball team,
yep,
kind of thing, right?
Yep.
And then we're able to go into that broadcast, and me as the webcast coordinator being able to provide that, like, this is what we talked about this week online. Let's bring this to our webcast as well. Again, just a very cohesive kind of story kind of thing, building to that, I think would be big. So, but that starts with me as far as like just bringing notes to... You do this already yourself, Teebs, as far as like you're building your own webcast kind of thing too.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
which is fine.
We have like Adam DeJonker is a fantastic example, where a 5-year vet as far as the men's volleyball team goes for the Bisons, phenomenal player, steps into the broadcast booth and is phenomenal. Unbelievable. If I'm able to provide him even more information as far as like what we're trying to do on Bison Sports end, even better, because this guy knows every volleyball player, men or women, across Canada West. He already knows that. He's fantastic. If I'm able to provide him the story that we're trying to tell from the Bison Sports point of view, even better. On the technological side, we've already talked about second camera as far as in Investors Group. I think we got really good with our football broadcasts near the end.
I agree, yeah.
We were getting replay in there. We were having, like, we had some pregame interviews with Dobie and stuff like that. Like, all those things that we ended up at the end of our football broadcast, I want to bring that to all sports kind of thing. And it's step by step. It's figuring out where the second camera might be. It's figuring out if we could have a host and stuff like that. And it's figuring out, using our streaming computer that we do have, how does replay look like Investors Group rather than in the big field, Investors Group field, right?
Yep.
Tons of things on my wish list for sure, step by step. But I think my priority for sure going into the second half is building that story. And away team is part of it too, right? Like if the Rams are coming in, Regina's coming in, whatever it may be, Huskies, anywhere in Canada West kind of thing, they're coming in. The 70-30 thing has always stuck in my head ever since John said that. Our viewership is absolutely going to be visiting parents. And I lived it too. Like when I was at home, my sister played for the Westmen. I'm sorry to say that here on UMFM as a Bison staff, but
it happens.
My sister played 5 years for the Westmen, and I know what it looks like to watch my parents sit in their living room on a Friday and Saturday night and watch a visiting broadcast. So I think about that a lot, and I think about who's actually watching this broadcast and what we can do. And if my parents were sitting in their living room watching a UBC broadcast and they started talking about my sister and bringing up a story about her that was on Westman.ca or something, how big is that?
Yeah.
That's big time, right? So if I can start thinking about that and really trying to prepare our webcast hosts, our broadcasters – with that kind of stuff and that bring that cohesive story, not only our home team with Bison Sports perspective, but the away team as well. I mean, that's Sarah Oleski level, right?
you're climbing up the ladder pretty quickly right there. I agree. Yeah.
The wish list is long, Teebs.
Undoubtedly. I mean, I know that I have, again, my own list of things that I want to see added or changed or at least improved upon. And I mean, that's going to be normal for everybody. The one thing I said, and again, outside the scoreboard, because that's everybody's complaint right now. The one thing, though, that I said I want to see, and I don't know if it's possible, and it may not be possible, and that's okay if it's not, but the one thing I want to see next year is I want to see, if we're going to do a multi-camera for hockey, I want to see cameras over top of the goals.
Oh, okay. Mm.
I want to be able to look down on the goalie and find out exactly where that puck's going, where it went, where it's gone. And it may just be one camera, just have one long cable like they do in football broadcasts, where you can run it from back and forth and follow the play along. But I think that would be a unique and completely different way of watching hockey. If you saw a breakout happen from one end and the camera followed all the way down the ice to the other end, you would have the most unique view of that breakout that anybody's seen before.
Oh, 100%.
And I think that's where you can sort of see where breakdowns happen, that kind of stuff. That's my one thing. I think it would be something that would have to be worked on, obviously, in terms of method and making it work properly and getting everything in place so that you know what's going on. But I think that kind of camera work, I think something like U Sports would be a great place to test something like that out. And then, hey, maybe we see it move higher if that's the case. But again, I'm just spitballing in terms of what I want to see. So,
oh, for sure. I mean, and there's tons of stuff. I love John putting the GoPros at the back of the net, kind of thing, right? Where
that's fantastic.
That's a great example of a cost-effective way to. We're not going to get that live on the webcast,
right?
The technology is not there yet as far as GoPros to wirelessly transmit an HD product.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
but
being able to put that in our plays of the week or highlights and stuff like that. Great. So I think it's thinking about those grand ideas. And I mean, I've completely, since starting this job in September, I can't watch a sports game the same way anymore. I'm looking at angles. I'm thinking about what they're cutting to. I'm thinking about the pre-packages that they have. I'm thinking about all those things. That's another thing that's on my wish, like just pre-packaged stuff like that. Like we do the Bison's TV thing, which is great. We got plays of the week and stuff like that. But there could be, again, if we have a doubleheader volleyball night this weekend kind of thing, maybe there's a pre-package of what's going on in volleyball.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
But it's taking those big ideas, the one that you just mentioned, and just trying to think of that we can do it cost-effectively, right? And not breaking the bank, not breaking the budget. What could we do right now to improve that thing? But, I mean, a wish list is a good thing to have because then it's just chipping away at it one step at a time.
Right. No, I'm 100% in agreement on that. I mean, like I said, there's always stuff that we can improve upon, look at doing in terms of getting stuff going. It's kind of funny, and a couple, Jared, as we know, kind of was giving me heck before he left for the evening, that Hockey Show was going to feature legitimately two basketball and one football guy tonight, which isn't often the case.
We all got our own sports.
Exactly. But I think that's important, though, because, I mean, it really brings in a different perspective. I mean, Mike's a huge football guy, talks about, you know, Manitoba or Winnipeg High School football all the time, talks about U Sports football all the time, knows everything there is to know about football. John's my go-to for Raptors information, and I've said that a couple times on social media, and he tries to deny it all the time, but he's my go-to.
It's a bad place to start.
He's my go-to. And then I listen on Wednesday nights. I listen to everything else that you're talking about, Neil. So yeah. I think having the different sport perspectives as well really, really sort of blends its way into finding the best way of seeing how this is going. So I don't have any problem with you know, two basketball guys and a football guy being here, but I think I think the question becomes, how did you get into that being your primary sport?
Right, that's a great question. For me, I played football all through high school, and I played basketball as well in high school, and like most people, just experimented with a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
I just love to hit people. Like, I just really enjoyed hitting people. I had a lot of anger as a kid, you know, and
okay.
I love playing on defense, and I love to hit people. And
right.
And the fundamental rule on defense, obviously, is tackle the person that comes in front of you.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So that was the reason why football became my favorite sport, was because I could let my anger out in an environment where that was encouraged. Obviously, if you're being safe about it, of course.
Sure. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And I mean, for me, like, when you're a sports fan, we all know when you're a sports fan, you're a sports fan of everything.
Right. Yeah.
But we all have our specialties, because you can't, you know, like, jack of all trades, master of none. I don't want to say that because I don't think that's the right way to say it, but just sort of like really being able to almost be the person on the beat and that kind of thing. Like, I think there is no one in the city that knows more, I think, about female hockey and just a hockey brain than you. There might be, but I haven't found them yet.
I appreciate the compliment. That's nice of you to say.
And I feel like, you know, just with our team and just how much John and Neil know about basketball and that, like you said, everybody brings a little bit of a different perspective in, which is awesome. And I think with Bison Sports, it really makes us be able to sort of hone in on, I don't really necessarily know about, you know, who the top three recruits coming out of basketball are. I'm going to ask John, or I'm going to ask Neil. I'm going to pick their brain about, if I'm interviewing somebody, you know, they might have some of that inside information that I don't have.
Yep.
Similarly, I mean, if they need to know something about football, chances are, especially at the high school level, because I'm also the communications guy for the high school football league, so chances are I know the answer to the question. If I want to ask something about hockey, I'm going to ask you. Even with Adam, we talked about him already with the webcast.
Yeah.
Me and him will just talk for half an hour before the webcast starts about the league and how things have gone and all that kind of stuff. Having those kinds of assets is invaluable, where you can turn to your left, turn to your right, anywhere you go, and you've got somebody that's on a beat of one of those sports that likely has the answer to the question. And I think that's huge, to just have those different foundations. But I rambled a bit. Going back to the topic at hand, it was always just just being able to just have that outlet and aggression to hit. And so when I was unable to play football after my first year of university because of concussions, I knew I was always going to be a writer. That was never in doubt.
Yep.
So that just became, okay, well, now I'm really going to specialize on this one sport because I have the ins on it already. But, you know, for me, it's always been post-secondary. I've always had that passion for university sports. And I feel like it's a niche that we all have the same amount of passion for. And I feel like the more of those people we have out there, obviously, the greater the game's going to grow. And so it's just a pleasure to have this platform, to do what I do and do what we do, and to have us all have so much passion specifically about amateur sports, because I feel like it just doesn't get enough coverage sometimes.
And it's funny that you mentioned, and again, I guess it's not funny, but it's kind of cool that you mentioned that you know, Adam is this great resource, and we got these, you know, fantastic people. It's funny how many former athletes from the Bisons come back to do some of the broadcasting. Like, that to me says that, A, they're engaged, number one. They want to be engaged. They want to still be, you know, in that sport in terms of just being, you know, around the sport, being able to be participating in something associated with the sport. But secondly, shows a heck of a lot of respect for Bison Sports as well. And I think that, more than anything, is, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I asked Kylie, and, like, without a hesitation, she basically agreed that she would do, you know, hockey all season in terms of being play-by-play. She legitimately misses her own senior women's games in order to come and call Bison games, because she committed to it and she wants to be part of it. And I go, okay, like, that right there. And I don't mean to embarrass her. If she's listening, I'm sorry, Kylie, I'm telling your backstory here, but that kind of commitment can't be matched. Like, that's huge. So getting guys like Adam coming out and doing stuff like that, to me, that speaks volumes about not only the you know, the commitment these people have, but the character of these people as well.
Absolutely. And I feel like that starts with relationship building, going back to sort of what we talked about earlier. And yeah, these athletes knowing that, I mean, like, we lean on them in some senses because we know they've been there. They've had those experiences. They've played in the league, you know, sort of. I feel like anytime you're able to have an athlete that has been there, done that, it just adds so much to your broadcast too. And it complements whoever's with them. You know, I mean, you complement Kylie perfectly. The two of you have just a tremendous relationship when you're on air. And I feel like that transcends to every different sport that we're covering, is that, you know, it's just the right dynamics. You've got that experience, but you've also got that mutual respect between the people that are talking and covering those games.
Yeah. John, you want to add anything to that, being that you're the guy that has to put up with all of us?
No, you guys are all great, and I wouldn't change anything.
Wow.
This is a small studio. I don't want to make any enemies.
There's no enemies here, John. I have to report to you, remember? So, going back to the original question, how'd you get into basketball then, John?
I've always been an NBA fan.
Okay.
My mom's family's from Chicago, so I grew up watching the Bulls, and that was kind of a good place to start, because when you get attached to a winning team, you kind of get adapted to the sport. That's kind of my journey. I mean, when I went through school, I played basketball for a little bit. I wasn't good enough to carry it anywhere, so I got into sports writing. I came out of creative communications and kind of got jobs in communications here and there doing PR, but I always wanted to stay around the sport. And I guess the message that I got early on, you know, growing up in Winnipeg, being a basketball fan, you have the Raptors, you have teams that are kind of around, but there aren't many job opportunities that you can see. But coming out of school, I think coming to work for the Bisons part-time was big for me. Finding ways to write about the Raptors, which I still do today, and just putting like your nose to the grindstone and finding things you can do is really helpful. You know, I worked in agriculture for 6 years for a full-time job, and worked, you know, part-time at the Bisons doing writing and finding ways to keep the experience going, which I think is really important, because it allows you to continue your passion for the sport and keep information-wise, keep things flowing towards you, staying on beats, writing for the Bombers, creating relationships with reporters. I think all that stuff kind of adds up and builds up until you have this body of work where you can do something like what I get to do now, which is basically my dream job, and being able to kind of reverse it, create information on Bison sports and help promote what our teams do on a daily basis. So it kind of started with basketball. It's built up into this sports thing, but I think just by staying involved in the sport and finding ways to stay involved, it's really helped me to get to where I am.
So we're going to say Michael Jordan led you to the Bisons? Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't tell him that, but we can say that here.
Phil Jackson got you associated with the Bisons? That's okay?
I don't want to tell him that either.
Okay,
that's probably
fine.
Worse.
I'm not saying anything about that. That's all right as well. Go to Neil. Neil, how did you get attached to the basketball scene?
If Michael Jordan brought John here, Vince Carter brought me here.
All right, okay,
sure.
There you go.
Because, kind of similar to John, my parents both grew up here, but, I mean, I was in school, and I remember seeing Vince Carter in that slam dunk contest, and then Steve Nash kind of coming onto the scenes and stuff like that, and I remember just coming home one day and saying, like, Mom, Dad, I want to play basketball. It wasn't hockey. It did the whole, like, soccer with the different colored shirts and stuff like that, and it was basketball, I think, and I really do think Vince Carter was a huge part of that right from the get-go. And once I started playing, my best friends became my teammates as well, and vice versa, and that was just kind of my life all the way through grade school, really. And I mean, I had a growth spurt from grade 6 to 7 and haven't grown since. So university was kind of out of university of or college basketball was kind of just out there, and I didn't see a path. And again, very similar to John, I was like, okay, I'm going to try and write about sports. And I think I've been podcasting for 6-7 years or so, whether it's at U of M or not, talking about basketball and sports and writing in different capacities and stuff like that. And again, very similar to John, I went to creative communications at Red River, and I had some fantastic opportunities with both the Jets and the Bombers, and realized maybe not covering sports is the route I want to go. Maybe it's working with the team itself internally. And that was a big change in my perception of what a job in sports would look like, because I always thought I could be a beat writer, or I could be on TSN 1290 or whatever it may be, right?
Yeah.
And looking up to Tim and Sid, I'd come home and I'd watch these guys, right? Or I'd turn on PTI and I'd be like, maybe this is what I want to do. But my experience in the past couple of years working with the Jets and the Bombers in different capacities, really recognizing that I love being part of a team. And I don't think it's in my personality to be very, I don't want to say harsh because that's not what journalists do, but the way that they come at it, and they have to be objective as much as possible in telling their story about a team. I really like the idea of being on the other side and being working with a team, working with the players, whether it's working with the front office or the media team like we're doing here with the Bisons kind of thing. And I've also, I've worked at the U of M since I think I was 15 when I started at Mini-U.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've worked at the U of M in a bunch of different ways since I was a child, basically. And being able to do what I really want to do with the Bisons now, it's kind of flabbergasting to think about it because I love what I'm doing. It's amazing to be doing it with the U of M and with the Bisons. And, yeah, it might not be basketball all the time, but, man, I'm starting to really, really love watching the different sports in their own right. I mean, watching the men's hockey team come back like the last weekend of their regular or sort of the first half and stuff like that. Yeah. And I mean, there's just countless things like spending a webcast with Adam DeShonker watching volleyball. Like I'm learning to love these other sports just as much as I love basketball. Cause there's different things to love in all different sports. Right.
I don't disagree with you in terms of that. The seeing the Bison men win at the end of the first half there was certainly, I'm going to say monumental for their season, maybe, because
yes,
they needed that win more than anybody else
absolutely
ever may have needed a win.
That's great.
But in saying that, though, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, you know, there's jobs all over the place. Just depends on how you view them. And like you said, you went from, all right, I don't have to write about them. I can actually work with the team and sort of move on. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, every time I get to show up here and do broadcasting with the three of you in and around that press box, it's fun. Like, I have a good time, and I hope people can hear that when we're broadcasting that we're having a good time, because it shouldn't be. I mean, yeah, it's got to be professional. I totally understand that side of it, but if it's not fun, you're gonna hear that in somebody's voice. So
I think the reason why, like, I mean, there are a lot of reasons we have fun doing what we do. I think one of the big reasons we have so much fun is, and Neil mentioned part of it just now, we've been involved with teams on this campus for a very long time.
Right.
I mean, Neil's been on this campus since he was 15. I mean, I started out when I was 19 covering the Bisons. I'm 24 now, and so it's been the past essentially 6 years sort of being on that beat. John's been doing this for a very long time too, like he mentioned, starting out part-time. So we know these players, and we've been through like sort of the progressions of their careers as well. So I think that's one of the reasons we have so much fun with it, is because we are so invested in these athletes, and we've been here for a decent amount of time to sort of like just being in and around the coaches, being around this atmosphere,
right,
and just wanting to give back because of the great experiences we've had as well, I think plays a huge factor for sure when you're able to just have that consistency and just really, yeah, just know as much as you possibly can about these different teams.
So I want to ask you guys, because this is probably going to relate to all of our jobs in terms of what we do. Breanne Jenner, Olympic athlete, you may recognize her from the Canadian women's national team, came out a couple weeks ago and ripped Canadian news media for the questions they ask women's hockey players. Basically, she said, and I'll quote her on this, quote, "I bring this up because this is an area where I found my college experience far exceeded any other teams I play on today, even on the national team, even in my professional career," unquote. Do you guys feel that as a whole, I know, John, you can probably speak to this more than anybody because you were with them for some of the media circus that went on during Nationals last year. Do you feel that we far exceed what everybody else gives the Bisons in terms of their coverage? Because I think we do, and I think that there's a lot of times people just need to be more invested in the teams that are at this call at this campus, because we are, I mean, don't get me wrong, University of Winnipeg has a bunch of teams and they do their own thing. But I think we, as a national competitor for a lot of the sports, bring a lot more coverage to Manitoba than the other teams do.
In comparison to teams on our campus or teams
in comparison to just the media asking, like, so in the media, again,
in kind of the media landscape,
right,
as a city.
Yes.
I mean, it's a constant kind of battle that we have to decide, you know, what we want to do to get the story of our teams out there. I think ultimately that's what we want to do. Like, that's our goal, is to get the story of our teams out there. Obviously, that includes women's hockey to a high degree.
Well,
that's why we want Mike writing at all the women's hockey games, because they are, you know, a blockbuster team for us right now, and we'll probably go to the playoffs and challenge again for a repeat championship. So, obviously, we want to push their story in as many ways as possible, and that's going to include the media. We also kind of recognize, and I recognize this personally, that the media landscape has changed just as a whole. There are less people dedicated to sports. There are plenty of TV stations who don't have a sports person on the news desk anymore.
Right. Yeah.
There are less reporters, and we're also facing more competition now with the Jets and the Moose back. That's really, you know, there are schools like Saskatchewan where they're the only story in Saskatoon, and they're going to get a ton of media coverage. We have to battle with the fact that the number one reporter at every outlet in this city is going to go to everything Jets related. So we're kind of left with, you know, telling the story and getting coverage in other ways. So that's kind of something that I work on. I'm trying to disseminate information the best way possible. But we also have to recognize that we're part of a bigger picture with how the story can come out there. And that's why these two guys are so important, because they help us tell that story internally and get the story out.
I have, and I don't know if this is going to affect you, and you probably will because you'll give me the look in a couple seconds, but I have reached out to Sportsnet again. If and when the Bisons happen to make the Canada West final, it'll be the same weekend that Hometown Hockey is in Winkler.
And they were actually at a game last year, and that was so tremendous for us. As that kind of, as the story came, or as the season came down to an end, I think the Venla Hovi story was so crucial for us in getting national coverage. We had a great Sportsnet piece as part of Hometown Hockey. And then there was a separate piece as the team was in the national championship about her, which was, you know, a 7-minute long piece that played before as part of a Hockey Night in Canada. It's just a massive coup for us. And when we have great stories like that, we get the coverage. It's just that regular beat stuff that we have as a challenge, and that's where we need to step in and tell the story that might not be told.
Well, I mean, Mike's doing a great job of that, and certainly you guys are helping us with the broadcast in terms of everything that's coming up. Is there a way? Have you found a way? Do you know of a way? Are you still trying to find a way of maybe getting more press out, more reporters out to games to cover a potential repeat champion? Or repeat champions come when it comes to the Bisons, or when it, you know, the football team, when it comes to the any of the hockey teams, any of the basketball teams, the volleyball teams. Is there a way to get press out to those games?
I think we have a few reporters who have come to a lot of our games who recognize and are in tune with what's going on with the team, which is really important. You know, we have a free press reporter, Mike Swatsky, who's been outstanding, has been on the beat pretty much all year for us, and will come to some games. For a lot of those guys now, though, it's less so being at the games and more so just kind of telling the stories as they come up, because there isn't kind of a day-to-day grind beat around amateur sports.
Right.
It's more of a storytelling as the stories come up. So obviously that's part of the challenge. We have good connections, but I think as the season kind of progresses into the second half and towards the playoffs, we're going to see kind of a pickup in coverage as the kind of that back-to-back championship story starts to build. And my job is just to disseminate the information around that and make sure that everybody's in touch with what's going on, what the record is, what, you know, are the stories around this team, what kind of are things they can latch onto, like the Oswald sisters, or,
right,
you know, the story of Jordy Zacharias scoring 4 goals in a game, stuff like that, where it's just like they can sink their teeth into.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're telling that story and making sure that they know it, typically we'll get some feedback and we'll get like, okay, yeah, we want to talk to Jordy and do a story on her on CJOB and stuff like that. So we definitely don't have a lack of press sinking in with the stories that need to be told.
Did Christian O'Mell, who does a good job, I mean, his he covers all the U Sports stuff now on his show.
Yeah, every
like
week.
I give full credit to Christian for picking up the stories and running with them.
Yep.
Did anybody contact you about Jordy setting the new Canada West record for a hat trick?
Yes, I think you have to go back. There was a story on that. I'm not sure if it was Christian or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, like I said, I mean, listen to him on the radio sometimes and I'm like, oh, he's got U Sports on. It's great. This is fantastic. I want to break into U Sports a little bit here because I don't know if you guys are aware of some of the stuff that's going on in the second half of women's hockey, but Mike, this will probably be a lot of this stuff will probably be effective for you. Let's break into this right now. I mentioned before the show, we were talking about some of the trends. Here are the trends that need to sort of stand out, I guess, if people are looking for this. And we've talked about this the last couple of weeks with some of the Bisons. Any team that reached the December break in first place also finished the season in first place over the last three seasons. Any team that finished that reached the December break in second place finished in a lower ranked placing in the standings than second half. So if you finish in second at the break, you're probably going to end up in third or lower. No team in the last 3 years has moved up more than two places in the final standings from their December placement. So if you're in fourth, Saskatchewan, you probably aren't going to catch Alberta. If you're in third, UBC, you're going to have a tough time catching Alberta, but it's possible.
You're saying we should staff March 14th to 17th for a host quarterfinal?
I'm saying right now that there's a good chance that it could happen. And it all depends on the second half series. Of the few teams that have done it, Alberta did it a couple years ago to Manitoba when Manitoba and Alberta entered the final series of the second half, tied at 8-1-0-1. Alberta won both and they went on to capture second place, so it wasn't good. Other things that you guys that you may need to know, and this may be something that you shake your head at. Lethbridge, over the last three seasons, are 4-26-2-4 in the second half, including 1-19-0-4 in the last two seasons. So to put that bluntly, they're 1-23 in the second half over the last two seasons. I'm not certain that'll change this year. They don't play UBC again. They play Calgary, though, so there might be a split there, but who knows. Calgary's been awful as well. They're 1-10-1 in the last over the last season. They dropped from 4-7-0-1. Regina's the third worst team in terms of second half standings. We'll see them at home here. So if you're interested in coming to one of those games, be prepared. Saskatchewan's been the most consistent. They've either been fourth or fifth at the break, and they've basically ended up fourth or fifth. Although last year they went on an incredible run, mostly due to Jessica Vance. This year, she hasn't had the same stats. Don't know what's going to happen there. UBC's been pretty consistent as well. They're basically second half standings have been 6-11 winning percentage or points percentage in terms of getting through there. So 6 out of 10 points isn't bad for every 10 points played. But again, Alberta's got a second half points percentage over the last two seasons of 792 compared to Manitoba's 764. So if Manitoba's going to make a run, that first series in January is where they need to do it. Got to beat Alberta. If you split, it's not the end of the world, but you got to at least win one of two. They don't staff that quarterfinal in March, mm-hmm. John.
Yeah, it's for us. I think we're looking forward to that first weekend as pretty much the standout weekend for a lot of our sports is a competitive weekend and a big draw that fourth, fifth weekend against Alberta. And maybe Mike can speak more to that. But that matchup, I think, is really going to be decisive in a lot of what we see in the second half from women's hockey.
I know it. And again, I've argued about U Sports national rankings for a long time. Is it deceiving that Manitoba is ranked number two right now? Because if you'd ask me, the team that's got a differential of plus 30 in their goals for, goals against, and has beaten Manitoba twice on their home ice, likely should be higher than them. Mm. But Manitoba currently sitting in number two. And again, they're only 2 points behind Alberta. Take nothing away from what Alberta's done. Manitoba's certainly been just as good. But is it deceiving to look at those standings and go, yeah, they don't really mean much because...
How much time do we have left in the show?
Yeah, no kidding. I was about to say
thing. But here's the question, though, because they brought in a new way to calculate the format, and it seems to have changed nothing.
The ELO system.
Mm. Yes.
Are you sure that that's part of hockey. I'm not sure if it is.
It was the reason they haven't introduced it in women's hockey, according to the information, is because they don't know, because everybody plays a different schedule. Mm-hmm. They don't know how it's going to work in terms of strength of schedule. And I go, does it really matter when like the best four teams always seem to come out of Canada West?
Mm. I will say, it, just to be political, it is totally subjective. And I think that the sports that they have introduced ELO into, it's balanced it a little bit. But these things are so kind of out there, and we're not really sure when it's not ELO and we're not seeing the story behind kind of what the system is. It is very subjective. Go ahead.
The coaches are the ones who vote, though, isn't it?
That's part of it, I think. I mean, I'm not entirely sure if that's the whole story. I mean, with the ELO, I mean, it's been factored in. I think the biggest glaring issue with ELO, and I think it's a cool system for sure.
Yeah.
I think football is the biggest glaring issue with
right.
the ELO
yeah, yeah, yeah.
because of strength of schedule
right.
and them factoring maybe that a little bit too much in. I mean, I'm not part of that, obviously, voting committee, but I think... you know, I think ELO is a cool concept. I think it certainly varies based on sports. I think it works better for some sports than it does for others.
Sure, yeah.
And obviously, we're just starting out with this system, and so it's going to take some time. But I think that it's something that is, like John just mentioned, and this is something that we could speak about this for hours
at
a time.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But I will add one thing that they've done well in Canada West, not U Sports in general, but the men's women's basketball now, for playoff standings, are not decided by the record of the teams, but by their RPI. So mm-hmm. seeding changes it depending
right.
on strength
yeah.
of schedule.
Yeah.
That, I think that was tremendous because there are so many basketball teams, so many different schedules are played, and the RPI system is a great way of factoring in strength of schedule, and it affects the seeding. It doesn't affect the rankings of the teams,
right.
but it allows for a much more balanced playoff schedule, and I think we've seen that, bar none in the last two seasons, as there's been RPI, that the playoffs have been so much more competitive, and the Canada West product, especially for men's basketball, has grown so much on the national level. I think that's part of it because you're seeing cream come to the top because of these little tweaks that you're
right.
doing.
Like Calgary, I mean, Calgary winning obviously was huge
yeah.
last year. I mean, the women's game certainly with having the strength of, you know, Regina, Saskatchewan and the way they've played the game.
That was a great game too. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. you look at that and you go, okay, this seems to be working. So knock on wood that they can figure out a way to get everything mm. going
yeah.
For the rest of the sports then. I do want to mention before we get out of here, because we're coming up like literally with 3 minutes away from the end of the show. If you're looking for something cool and you haven't, you're searching for that one gift you haven't really found, you got a music lover on your list there, umfm.bandcamp.com. Go and buy the digital album called Nothing Under the Tree. It is a fantastic work done by our own Brian Svensson, who does all the camera work for women's hockey. He's an outstanding gentleman. He's put together a whole whack load of crazy, songs that are done by a bunch of bands that are incredible. You heard Merry Christmas, Don't Want to Fight off the top. We'll play that again at the bottom. That's by the Murderbirds. They're on this album. All money for the $5 for the digital album, $5, all the money going to support the Winnipeg Humane Society this year. So good on Brian and good on UMFM for doing that. So if you need to get something, umfm.bandcamp.com, and you'll find that on there if you're going to go pick up that album. So great for that. Gentlemen, any plans over the holidays for you guys?
I'm going back to BC. My girlfriend's dad lives there, so
all right.
I'll be spending 5 days there, getting away from this cold weather and going to the rainy conditions of BC, which much more my thing. But yeah, that's my plan.
John?
Family stuff for the most part. My girlfriend and I are going down to Fargo. I'm going to cheat on these Bisons and go see a Bison game at NDSU.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
See what their experience is like.
Right so, on. That's all right.
That'll be kind of our post-Christmas plans.
Neil?
I've only seen Jingle All the Way twice this
okay.
holiday season, so one more time for sure
okay,
is
yeah, that's
in,
fair.
In the books.
That's
and,
fair.
Yeah. I don't know, sleep, rest, some NBA games, and
yeah.
We'll call it a holiday.
You got a Christmas Day games, eh?
You got
a big Christmas
ones.
Day, yeah.
Yeah. It'll be all right. Regardless, I'm always watching.
Awesome. Gentlemen, we can't thank you enough. We're going to have you back in probably towards the end of the season, and we can talk about how the season went for everybody in terms of what's going on, but can't thank you enough for giving up a night very close to the holidays to come in and talk to us about what you guys do to make everything click around here. So thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. John, Mike, Neil, happy holidays to all of you guys and to your families as well, you and yours.
Yeah,
all
the best. Thanks, always for having us.
Hey, no
always
problem.
A pleasure.
Always glad to have you. Next week, if you're going to tune in, folks, make sure you get your listening earbuds on or your headphones or your radio on. We're going to talk some Spengler Cup. We got some prizes to give away next week, folks. We're not going to do Christmas before Christmas. We'll do Christmas after Christmas here on 101.5 UMFM. It is the Hockey Show. We are out of here for another week. Stay tuned, everybody, for Free Range Radio coming up right away here on 101.5 UMFM.